As we continue our coverage of the Association of the U.S. Army Conference here in Washington, our next guest is Lieutenant General Stephen Lanza, the commander of the Army's 1st Corps, based at Joint Base Lewis-McChord in Washington State, but heavily engaged throughout the Pacific. He joined me on the show floor with an update on some of the 1st Corps' activities over the past year.
1st Corps has obviously been expanding our role in the Pacific, but we've also conducted global operations. So our op tempo, operational tempo for our soldiers has increased, and our soldiers are again globally engaged and regionally aligned in the Pacific and other places. We've just finished a large meeting in Malaysia with about 36 different nations called the Pacific Army's Management Seminar, as well as preparing for operations in Japan, and I just had one of our division commanders come back from India. So we are extremely busy and extremely committed to reference our rebalance and our global operations.
The rebalance notwithstanding, obviously a lot of the world's attention is on other portions of the world, including the Middle East. What are you doing? What can you do to make sure that you're postured to respond to other parts of the world that aren't necessarily in your traditional AOR if you need to?
We have forces right now that are supporting operations in Afghanistan and Iraq that are from 1st Corps. So again, we are globally responsive and regionally engaged. We just had 7th Infantry Division complete operations in Kandahar for operations there. And then we have our units from 17th Fires Brigade, as well as some or other brigades that are conducting the operations there. Again, bottom line, our readiness, our number one priority is to be prepared to respond to whatever the nation asks us to do, whether that's operations in the Pacific or whether it's operations globally in the Middle East. And we're prepared to do whatever the nation asks us to do.
Can you talk a little bit about how you're folding in the reserve component and some of the interdependencies there, medical, logistics, a wide array of things? It's an issue I raise not just because it's relevant to your mission, but because I know we have a lot of guardsmen and reservists.
Well, all our operations are with the total force, so whether it's Pacific pathways or whether our operations for other missions in Japan and other countries that we've talked about, they all involve the Guard and Reserve. Right now we have a program that the Army has started called Associated Units. So we're picking up a brigade from Washington right now that used to be an armor brigade that is now going to reconfigure to a striker brigade. This is the 81st out of Washington. They'll be an associated unit with 7th ID. Additionally, we have units from Indiana that are going to be associated with the 25th Infantry Division. So this total force, as our chief talked about, is we are one Army. We are one army of 970,000. So any operation we do, whether it's training at Yakima, National Training Center, or again, as I've said, Korea, Japan, Australia, have all been with Guard and Reserve forces. And what I see in the future for Pacific Pathways is a larger role for the Guard and Reserve as we expand their role in the Pacific.
And what does that do for you in terms of readiness? Because that's particularly, in the reserve component in terms of readiness, because that's one of the issues that they've raised. We may not be getting as many training cycles as we'd like compared to the active component. Does being folded in with you and having those associated units mitigate against that?
Anytime sometimes you can bring the total force together, there's obviously opportunities. And as I said earlier, everything we've done has been with them. So sometimes you'll hear inside the Beltway that we're not as totally linked as we are. But I will tell you, in the operations that we have out in the Pacific and the operations that we have with our partners in Washington, Oregon, California, and Idaho, it is one force. And that includes building their requirements that lead to how they're going to train with us in the future. So all that has been linked, and I'm very positive of the approach we have in the future. And more importantly, I think if you talk to some of the TAGs, the adjutant generals of those states, you see that they have a very good understanding of their relationship with us as well.
A lot of the world's attention in your part of the world has been on North Korea. Talk a bit about what you're prepared to do on the Korean Peninsula to support U.S. forces Korea if something should happen.
Well, obviously there are contingencies for that, and as you know, we just got back from August from a large operation there with the South Koreans. It's a very tense part of the world. I think you've been monitoring some of the recent nuclear tests in North Korea, but that's a contingency that we obviously have to be prepared for and something that we continue to train with our South Korean forces. I would say that every year we continue to grow in our ability to work that, and then that's linked back to our readiness to be able to respond to those requirements.